All right, great interview we got here. Rennie Mullenstein, for 12 years, was the assistant coach with Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United, worked with such players like Cristiano Ronaldo, Wayne Rooney. He has coached and managed teams all over the world. Here is part one of our interview with Rennie Mullenstein, the former assistant coach under Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United. Well, Rennie, I guess the first thing, let's just get, you know, where were some of your influences growing up in the Netherlands? And I know you grew up in the southern part of the Netherlands.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was born in 64, so really when I started to get acquainted with soccer, it was sort of in the 70s, and I grew up with the golden age of Dutch football, so to speak, with the likes of Johan Cruyff. And that generation that did so ever so well in the World Cup in 74. So that was a big influence on me, seeing them play and the way they play, and later on how Johan Cruyff thought about football and how the game should be played has had a big impact on me. That's one. And secondly, a guy, a coach called Wiel Kerver, who's developed a sort of a skill development program, which is well known around the world in the Kerver method, and I think it's well known in the United States as well. So I've had the pleasure to work with him for a few years in the Middle East. So those were the two big and main influences.
Yeah, the Kerver method was very, very big here, and probably still is in many ways. Tell me a little bit about your involvement with him.
On your sort of discovery road for discovery and development as a coach, I was always looking for new ideas, and it was in an Exeter village in a bookshop when I saw his book, which was called, I think, the Plan for the Ideal Soccer Player. And I read it, and I read the preface, and I thought to myself, you don't need to have to be studying in university to understand what this man means. And basically, in a nutshell, what he said was, look at the best teams and look at the best players and try to find out why they are the best players. And if you know what the qualities they possess, then that is your guideline as a coach, what you need to develop in young players. That was basically, in short, what he was for. And then I had the opportunity in the 90s to go and work with him in the Middle East, in Qatar, for about 4 years. And that really, really had a big influence on my outlook in developing, young, technical, skillful players.
We're speaking to Rennie Mullenstein. We appreciate him being on. Has been an assistant coach with Manchester United. When I look at your dossier here and all the different countries you've been involved in the game from a managerial position, and I know everybody's going to want to talk about your time at Manchester United and hear what you have to say about that, but I mean, you've been in the Middle East, you've been in India, you've been in England. It's pretty remarkable where managing has taken you all over the world. Did you ever envision this type of travel and then being influenced by this many cultures and then tying that into being a football manager?
I didn't necessarily envision, to have the journey that I've had. What I always did have from a very early age onwards, I was very, very determined that I wanted to do something in soccer. Obviously, every young player, and me is no exception, myself no exception, I wanted to become, a professional soccer player. And, we had a very good upbringing and a very nice, and a good youth team. But obviously, scouting at that time wasn't to an extent as what it is now. And I think, a lot of young players, have not been picked up in sort of my sort of generation. But even though I played at a respectable level, I always, very early, from a very early age onwards, I wanted to coach. I was 16 and I was coaching 8-year-olds. And that's when the journey started. And I always felt, no matter what's going to happen, I know it was going to be difficult probably in my own home country, in the Netherlands, to develop myself as a coach and to get into the professional game. So that's why I started to look abroad. I did my coaching licenses and the pro license in England, and that's when the journey started. And I like traveling myself. I like to meet new people, new coaches. It creates a level of wealth in that respect for all the people that you meet and all the experiences that you gain along the way.
He's Rennie Mullenstein. We're talking to him about his amazing coaching career, currently coach of Australia as an assistant. Now, I know you're keeping tabs on a lot of the Australian players that are playing in England. You're still based in Manchester. Tell us about your role right now with Australia and where you see them in the picture right now in the World's game.
I picked up the assistant manager's job with the Australian team in last July in 2018 after the World Cup. The head coach, stroke manager is Graham Arnold. I got to know Graham about 10, 12 years ago when he came to for a visit to Manchester United. He was doing this pro license, so he had to do a visit to a foreign professional club. I knew Graham from his playing days, in Holland. He played for two professional clubs in Holland, so I knew a bit about him. But we sort of hit it off. We clicked. In that respect, we always stayed in touch. And in January in 2018, he got in touch with me and said, listen, Rene, I'm going to take the national team after the World Cup. I would like you to be part of it. How do you see that? And obviously, I've had a lot of experiences in club football, and not always the best ones, because there was a lot of short-sightedness in club football in that respect. So I was up for something new and something different. Australia has always had a big draw to me, likewise like the United States. I think there's a lot of similarities there. I've always loved to come to the United States and work with soccer players, boys and girls over there. They've got a great mentality. And there's a lot of similarities there in Australia. I think there's a lot of room for development. There's a lot of room for a different type of style that we want to introduce, and which we have started to introduce since we've been working with it. So apart from being assistant to the national team, I've also been part of the Olympic team, which the pre-qualifying rounds start in March. So it's an exciting time.
Now, I would expect that based on your background, you get instant respect from these players. If you look at Australia's top professional league and Major League Soccer, you did mention some similarities. How would you compare the two, and is one more mature than the other?
Obviously, they have the similarities are that they're both nations that have very strong other sort of supporting sports, where in America you've got American football, you've got the baseball, you've got the basketball, very established sports for many, many years ago, and soccer found its way and its place sort of besides it. And I think they've done a remarkable job over the last 20 years. Australia, similar. They've also established the A-League. It's the biggest participating sport at the moment, with over 3 million participants. Again, same in America. There's a lot of it, I think, as well as being one of the biggest participating sports. They're both fairly young in comparison to a lot of other nations who have a far stronger culture, a soccer culture, so to speak. And there is still a lot of room for development in that respect. So that is what I think, if you compare the two nations. Obviously, they're both big countries as well, so they've got some challenges in terms of distances to cover, but they're moving and they're progressing year by year, and they're getting stronger year by year.
He's Rennie Mullenstein. He's joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Let's take you into Manchester United and your time with Sir Alex Ferguson, because I've seen a lot of interviews with you, and just kind of paint the picture of what he was like as a man, because you're in rarefied air. Being next to this, renowned manager, one of the greatest ever in the game, and there you are working side by side with him. So some initial thoughts on Sir Alex.
Well, it wouldn't be a surprise if I would say that was absolutely definitely the best time of my life as a coach, to work in for the club of the size of Manchester United alongside such a respected, and very successful man as Sir Alex Ferguson. I have to start by saying this, Dave, because in the 6 years, I was at Man United over 12 years, but I worked as a first-team coach for 6 years alongside Sir Alex Ferguson. And believe me, we always had the highest of ambitions in terms of winning the Premier League and winning the Champions League and winning other trophies as well. So that automatically brings some pressures. But I never, ever experienced one moment of negative pressure whilst I was working for Sir Alex. And that is an enormous credit to this man. And that is not only me, that was the rest of the staff. I think in the time that I obviously spent with him, he was coming to the latter stages of his career. He was a very good listener. He was an outstanding man manager. And he was a very good delegator. He trusted his people around him. And it was an absolute delight to work for. And apart from that, obviously, he had an enormous drive, an enormous competitiveness, a winning mentality. And he wasn't afraid to make tough decisions when he needed, it was an unbelievable, exciting time and one of the best times I've had.
Rennie, talk to me about, let's say we're in a hypothetical situation and the staff amongst you and Sir Alex are talking about a particular player and he's taking information from all of you, or maybe it's a tactical plan, whatever. How does it work? He grabs information from all of you, and then how is it processed? What is the way it works?
Right. Well, the way of sort of the strategy that we had in place was that obviously when the sort of season is well underway, we had obviously scouts watching opposition teams. Those scouts would provide reports, which would be given to Sir Alex, to myself, to McPhelan, the assistant and Simon Wells, the video analyst at that time. I would work very, very closely with the video analyst. We would obviously study the reports. We would cross-reference them together to have a look at them if we see the same things. Obviously, the video analyst would have a very close look at what he saw in the reports. Does that match with what he sees with the video analysis? And then we would sort of come up with a blueprint in terms of saying, listen, we're up against this opposition, for instance. This is the style that they play. This is the system they play in general. These are the key players. This is the current form. This is the goals that they concede. This is the goal that they scored. So you need to identify trends. And obviously, we had a sort of a format that it was always 75-25. And what I mean by that, Dave, was 25% we would spend time in informing the players to say, listen, this is what the opposition is about. This is how they can hurt us. And then 75%, it was all about us, how we can defeat them. How will we win the game? And that is a process that takes place, obviously, on the pitch, where I would sort of recreate situations in training sessions where they could sort of, try to practice similar routines that we would know that would help us in the game from a defensive point of view or attacking point of view or set pieces, whatever that could make a difference. And we would back that up by video analysis to show them, well, this is why we do this. And then eventually we would show them the video analysis, the right practice of, previous moments in the games where we've already executed it. And that was basically the similar routine that we used. And coming in terms of selecting the starting 11, that would always be, Sir Alex Ferguson would have his ideas. We would have our ideas. We would put that on the, together on the board. And eventually he would make the final decision. And that's where we would go with.
Rennie Mullenstein joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. 12 years at Manchester United with Sir Alex Ferguson. This is remarkable stuff we're talking about here. What would be the biggest thing you took from him? If you had to pick one, and somebody's going to wave a wand and give you one specific quality of Sir Alex Ferguson, what would it be?
That's a really, really good question. And I would say, I think he reached the highest level of management in the latter stages of his career, and I would say delegation. And to be able to delegate, you need to have a lot of expertise and a lot of experience. You need to have a lot of trust in the people around you, so you need to have the qualities to bring the right people in, and then delegate and trust those people, and then without losing control of the situation. And he was a master in that.
Rennie, don't we see that in all aspects of life now? That I mean, I think I see it visibly on a daily basis. People that aren't good delegators are afraid to trust those that they've hired. I mean, isn't that something that's we can see?
Yeah, I totally agree. But a lot of times it's fueled by because people are insecure and they want to keep control because that keeps them safe. But with taking that approach, it also keeps them limited. Whereas if you are good at what you do yourself and you've got the right expertise and you've got experience, delegation gives you the freedom to let the situation evolve and let the people take it into the right direction. Because I think what Sir Alex Ferguson must do really, really well is that he obviously worked with people much younger than him. And those young people, he always said, gave him energy and kept him young. It's because young people have ambitions. And people with ambitions come with new ideas. And that's the only way to keep pace and to be able to adapt to new circumstances. Otherwise, you get stuck in your old routines. And at some point, it doesn't work anymore.
Man, that's remarkable you say that, because my brother is a big underwater diver, and he dives World War wrecks all over the world, especially in Asia. And in the Caribbean, he this is where he lives. But he said to me the other day, he goes, I don't like diving with guys my own age because they're not capable of what the younger guys can do. And my brother's still in very, very good shape. But, you know, back to that energy factor, he says the same thing. They're just so much more fun to dive with. And it's more challenging for me. So I find that amazing that you did say that. All right, talk a little bit about Cristiano Ronaldo, because I know that your time at Manchester United, you worked with him and a lot of other players on an individual basis. What would you do with him, starting with Cristiano Ronaldo? What did you do with him as a young player?
Well, first of all, you know, when Cristiano came as a young 18-year-old, he was so very driven and committed. He knew exactly what he wanted. You know, he wanted to become the best player in the world. And at one point, I discussed that with him, and he looked at me like, you know, how do you know this? I says, well, I can see it. The only thing for you now is to devise a strategy to make that all happen. So, have you ever thought about how you are going to become the best player in the world? So you need to devise, you know, a strategy, and it's a sort of a process of developing and also to bringing him from awareness to understanding. And because he obviously was a very talented player, but he wasn't sort of the finished article. One of the things that I sort of identified in his game where I thought we can make massive progress was his finishing. He wasn't bad at finishing, don't get me wrong, but he didn't have a range of finishing such as other, you know, top strikers had previously at Manchester United, i.e. the likes of Ruud van Nistelrooy, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Dwight York, Andy Cole, and so forth. So I did a sort of a sequence of sessions with him, and that was at the time when he was suspended for 3 games in the beginning of the season. I don't remember exactly which one. But that is when I sort of sat him down and we basically studied all those good strikers at United to make him aware why were they scoring so many goals. So first of all, could he identify what it was? And it was a combination of being at the right place at the right time, but also be very, very clinical and ruthless. A lot of finishes were 1 and 2 cuts. And thirdly, there was a wide range of finishes, and that was one of the problems that Cristiano had at the time, because he wanted to always finish in the sort of same manner. He always wanted to blast the ball from distance in the top corner. So therefore, he used to sort of miss quite a few opportunities. So we started to work on that specifically for over, you know, I think a 3 to 4 week period, because I had plenty of time with him whilst the team was traveling and for games. We could work individually on those aspects. That was one of them. And secondly, to make him, again, to bring him more from awareness to understanding in terms of the mental side of the game. You know, how can you I've always used to say, where the mind goes, the rest will follow. So how can you take control of the mental side of the game? Cristiano sometimes would get upset by the fact that people say, well, Torres went in, the players always kick me and they always foul me and all this. And I used to say to him, you want to be happy that players kick you. The moment they stop kicking you, they found another way of stopping you. The thing that you need to work on is to anticipate those tackles so you can avoid them, but also never get affected by it in a negative way. So you never, because that's what players want. They want to unsettle you. I always use the example, because Cristiano was a keen tennis player and Federer was his idol. He says you need to sometimes play football like Federer plays tennis. So don't get mentally involved. So you have to grow. You need to become tactically more efficient. You need to be on the finishing side more efficient. And you need to become mental more stronger. Those were the sort of three aspects that we covered.
So two very good follow-ups here, Rennie. And we're talking to Rennie Mullenstein, who is a former assistant coach, first-team coach, worked very closely with Sir Alex Ferguson in the great years at Manchester United. We're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo. So the first thing I would say is, can coaches accelerate mental strength? In other words, like you were doing with Cristiano Ronaldo. And then I would tie that into, we have always heard the rumors on the outside over the years that the coaching staff at United, and it may have been Sir Alex, actually told the team to kind of rough him up a little bit in training to kind of get him used to dealing with the physical aspect of the game.
Yeah, I can see the one thing that Sir Alex Ferguson put in place the moment that he walked through the door at Manchester United, which took a while because people forget about it, but he came in 86. Mm-hmm. And I think it took him 6 years. You know, obviously he won the cup, and then in 92 he won the first Premier League. Most of the time, that time is not being given anymore to managers nowadays. But Sir Alex had the time to do it, and the most important thing is, first and foremost, to create the right environment and get the right resources to make sure that the players are in the best possible position, you know, to practice and develop themselves, and to create a very professional and competitive environment, and that is obviously what he did, and also what he wanted Cristiano Ronaldo to get used to. And I know because I was there myself. You know, I was the first team coach for 6 years, and there was always this natural high level of competitiveness with those players. They could never do anything half-hearted. It was always of the highest level. They always pushed each other to the next level. So Alex Ferguson always used to say to me, Dave, he says, listen, remember, Rene, whatever you do in training will manifest itself in the game, good and bad. So it's very important that we constantly emphasize, you know, the importance of good practice, because we will see that happening in the game. And it's absolutely true.
Yeah, that's amazing. Great stuff. Some of the other players that you work with there, Wayne Rooney, how about a word on Wayne now that he's in the United States playing for DC United?
Yeah, Wayne is, I've got a weak spot for Wayne, because Wayne is that sort of guy that he comes from the training session, or he comes from playing at Old Trafford, and he drives home and he sees people or boys kicking the ball about in the park. He parks his car up, he goes out and plays again. You know, that sort of type. He just loves playing soccer. And I was actually talking to him, and he was asking me about, obviously, soccer in America, because I had a short spell as a sort of consultant for that Philadelphia Union with the MLS. So I've had a decent insight about the MLS, and I saw where it was heading. And I said, listen, Wayne, you will enjoy it. You will absolutely enjoy going to America, the United States. Soccer is catching on. The stadiums, there are more and more soccer purpose-built stadiums. I've loved every minute of it when I was traveling to the United States and saw it. And, you know, I've always was very keen actually working in the United States as well. It's not materialized yet, but so I was very keen on Wayne. And Wayne is, like I said, he's obviously getting old. He's in his 30s, but within inside of him, it's still the kid Wayne Rooney that is playing soccer.
So that's part one of Rennie Muhlenstein. Part two we will play next Wednesday on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Outstanding interview there. Some incredible insight from a man who was in rarefied air working next to the great Sir Alex Ferguson. So more with Rennie next week.